I honestly don't know how this has happened, but I receive a magazine that I didn't order. It comes in my house, okay? I'll show you what it is in a second. It's kind of different. It's not something that a man would order. So before the guys mock me and laugh at me, I honestly didn't order this. It just came from some strange reason, and it is Oprah magazine. Okay? I get Oprah magazine. I don't know why I get Oprah magazine. It's the second issue. It has my name on it. I don't know how many guys get, you know, their name. Jim Bradford, Oprah magazine. I don't really know what the deal is. I think it came free with business cards or something from Vistaprint. You've ordered from Vistaprint. They never got you Oprah. I never clicked Oprah. I don't know what the deal is. Oprah is a very successful woman, isn't she? She's very successful. In fact, she's hands down, I am sure that she is the most influential woman in America, probably the most influential woman in the world. Definitely America, by far. If you're on Oprah, you're good. If you have a book and Oprah endorses it, dude, you can pick out which island you want to buy, because everybody in America will buy that book and you'll have enough money to buy your own island. That's how famous Oprah is. Did you know that Oprah, she loves to give advice on things, right? Oprah, in case you don't know, Oprah doesn't give advice based upon the Bible. So here's the difference between me and Oprah. For one, I'm a dude. And I don't think she's a dude. I know I'm a dude, so that's probably a difference. Oprah has a lot of money, and I don't, so that might be another difference, okay? And when she gives out money, or when she gives out advice, rather, Oprah doesn't give out advice based upon the same systems that I would give out advice. I give out advice based upon the Word of God. You've heard me say this before. The Word of God is our foundation for everything. The whole solid rock in our church name is the Word. Whoever listens to and obeys the teachings of Jesus is like a person who builds their house with solid rock. Oprah's advice comes from popular thought, comes from New Age mysticism, comes from the Book of the Week. It comes from whatever it comes from. It's not based upon the Word, okay? She has a different theological foundation than I do. So when you come to me and when we come to church, you should expect preaching from the Word. As you know, that's what I do. I just don't share silly stories and we hug and go home. We can hug, we go home eventually, but everything that I share is from the Word and it's thought out very well. Oprah has the title this month is brand new. I just got it in yesterday, my own subscription somehow. You're Stronger Than You Know, How to Tap Into the True Power and Really Make It Work for You. What would I say the true power is that we need to tap into? Anybody? Easy question. What's that? The Lord, right? It's Jesus. It would be the same power in Romans chapter 1 that said, well, Paul said this, I love this scripture, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God for the salvation of all who would believe. Amen. That's the power of God that changes people, right? That is it. Oprah has an interview with like 31 different people in here who talk about the power of God and her life, and as I was flipping through them, to be honest with you, I didn't see any of them that were Christians at all. One is a Buddhist nun who was in here, so I mean that's obviously a different thing than we would base our belief system upon. We're not Buddhist. Surprise, if this is your first service, we're not Buddhists. Sorry, but I'm glad somebody brought you here anyway. We don't base our belief system upon just whatever some thought some guy had. Now there's a popular YouTube clip in which we see Oprah gets in a confrontation with somebody over Jesus. Very cool clip. Check this out And it's poor quality, I know, but check out this clip and we'll talk about it in a few moments.
The panel has been discussing the spirituality and the forces of God, but I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us, that we do have our God that we can depend on, but there's also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of. And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most absolute definitely.
Yeah. So Marianne Williamson says in her book, Return to Love, that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
Right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is, it's a gorilla talking, but anyway. It talks about, one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a
then
human
how do
being.
You please
and,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths
right.
to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
amazing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides,
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
I even raised him up in the focus of discussion, and you say there isn't only one way. There is one way, and only one way, and that is
through Jesus. There couldn't possibly be,
because you say there isn't. Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
But that means you're right.
Do you think that if you are somewhere on the planet, if you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
And that is covered in the scriptures too. People
heart.
Are talked about
truly,
that.
God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart or God care about if you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know, Oprah, God, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
Not religion, Oprah.
I can't get into a religious argument with you. John.
Wow, has anybody seen that before on YouTube? Yeah? Open up your Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 6. Now today my goal is not to attack Oprah, but we're talking about worldviews and particularly false teachers today. John chapter 14 verse 6. Jesus has a few words here that we ought to share briefly. It says, Jesus told him, John 14, 6, I am what? The way. I am what? The truth, I am what? The life. Now here's this one, ready? No one can come to the Father except through me. Okay. As Christians, we can be accused of being narrow-minded. I'm not narrow-minded. The one I follow, call him narrow-minded. Right? How about people around the world that don't know Jesus? Can't they just go to heaven if they're good people? What did Jesus say? No one comes to the Father except through me. But there are millions of paths to heaven, aren't there? Jesus said there's one. So if you hold to Jesus, either Jesus was a liar when he said he was the only way, either Jesus was a lunatic and just crazy, off his rocker when he said he's the only way, or he's the Lord. You have to make up your mind what Jesus was. You either have to call Jesus a liar or Jesus a lunatic, or he's the Lord. people say he was a good man. If he was a liar, he was not a good man. You know any good people who are just flat out liars? If Jesus was a lunatic, he wasn't a good teacher. People, well, he's a good man, good teacher. Not if he was stone cold crazy, right? You can't have Jesus be anything else but a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. Jesus said He is the way. He is the truth. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Call it narrow-minded, I call it Jesus. That's what He said. You understand? As believers, you can't hold, don't even pretend you hold to the Bible if you don't hold to that. I had you turn there for a reason. I do not want you to leave here today saying, yeah, but there's a bunch of different ways. Either you believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible. Are we there? Right? Either Jesus is for real or He's not for real. You don't get this wishy-washy, He was a good teacher. Baloney. Jesus was a liar, He was nuts, or He's the Lord. He wasn't good. He was either king, or he was this dude who we wouldn't talk about. And I don't know about you. Would you allow yourself to be killed for a crazy person? All of the disciples were imprisoned and killed and martyred. Would you allow yourself to be killed if you knew he was stone cold nuts? I know some crazy people. Anybody? Anybody you're sitting next to a crazy person? Outside of your spouse, would you allow yourself... Would you allow yourself to be killed for a crazy person? No. How about somebody who was just a flat-out, no-good, lying dude that just went around lying all the time? You wouldn't allow yourself to be sawed in half to keep a lie from some liar. Many of the early people, they were fed to lions. They were sawed in half. They were tortured to the point where they said, reject Christ and we will let you go. And at their very last breath that they had, they said, I will not reject Him. He is the Lord. And they allowed themselves to be tortured. Tortured. It's a great study that I'm sure will mess you up for the good if you've read what happened to many of the early people in the faith. We have it so easy in our country, we don't even know. Because we have younger kids, I'm not even going to go into it today, but ridiculous ways of torture that people endured to stand for Christ. Burning at the stake, and they're the easy ones. There's a whole lot worse, where they knew who Jesus was. Jesus was not... He's either bad or He's good. I know in my life, He showed me that He is good. He's not just some good teacher. He is the Lord. Okay? Today, this isn't an attack upon Oprah. I hope this is just a wake-up call for what's out there in the world, you understand. It's not an attack upon her as a person. I don't know her. She might be a great person. But we're talking about the message that is shared not only by her. I just happened to get Oprah. I don't know why. And we happen to have a clip. But you can see this kind of stuff, I'm sure, all over the place with these guys on TV. Okay? But Oprah said, her words, there can't possibly be one way. Jesus said there was. She said that's one of the mistakes people make is when they think there's only one way. Jesus in the garden prayed to the Father. He was ready to be crucified and said, Lord, if there is any other way to bring forgiveness to the world, if there is any other way, please take this cup from me. And in one of the most selfless expressions of all time, Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus said, nevertheless, if there is only this way, I'll die for the people of the world. It's an insult to say there was another way. Because if we say there's another way, we're saying God the Father is cruel because He knew there was another way and we allowed Jesus to go through. Do you understand? She said that's a mistake. She said there's millions of ways. There's millions of ways. We go out to the street. Which way can we go? We can go left or right, right? Come out to this intersection. There's a four-way. We can go up to the next one. There's a four-way, right? There's millions of ways to get places. How about to your home? After church, you want to go home. Imagine you have a lasagna cooking. It's waiting for you. Are you going to get out and say, you know what? I know I live in Vineland, but I'm going to shoot Route 54 up and go up past Hamilton. Eventually, I'm going to get to Canada and Ontario because there's a million ways to get home. Is there a million ways to get home? You got to get home, right? If your home is south, you're not going to go north. You're not going to say, I'm going to go over the polar ice cap, back around, right? And it's ludicrous. We wouldn't say that. Jesus said there's only one way. There's not a million ways. There's one way. Spiritually, there is one way. She talked about, somebody said, light and darkness. Did you catch that? Interesting that what is good? The light. What's a name for the devil in the Bible? The angel of light, the Bible says, is the devil. He disguises himself as an angel of light. I have a terrifying movie that maybe we'll show sometime where people are dying, like in the hospital, and they see this bright light, and their doctors are saying, just go to the light, it'll be okay. And they go to the light and they end up in heaven. And then all of a sudden, when they're dead, the angel that was there turns at them and laughs, and all of a sudden the curtain drops and they're really in hell. The Bible says the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. Be careful which light you go to. Jesus doesn't say, I'm the light. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Be careful. Be careful. Okay? God brings light into our world, so it's not like every time the Bible talks of light, it's about the devil. It's not. But there are a lot of people who think they have the light, and what they really have is darkness. They really have something dark. And they think they found the light, and they don't. Be careful. Don't go for a dark versus light. I'm going to Jesus. Amen? Couldn't possibly only be one way. She said, the lady's like, that's because you say there's not only one way. Well, there couldn't possibly. She rejected. She talked about the purpose of Jesus. Why did Jesus come on the earth? Anybody? To save us. Why did He live a life? To save us, you understand? We couldn't live the perfect life. Anybody not mess up today? Because I'm sure I've messed up today. Anybody perfect? Can I see a hand? We mess up all the time. As I said before, in an old black and white cowboy movie, all the good guys wore white, right? The bad guys wore black. In truth, we all wear black. We're all bad guys. Jesus was the only one on the white horse. He's the one that lived the perfect life where I mess up and where you mess up. Since He didn't die for His own sin, He was able to die for my sin. Do you see that? That's why the sinless life of Jesus is right in the Word of God, and it's so important. Because He didn't die for His own sins. He lived the perfect life through the power of the Holy Spirit, was crucified, rose from the dead, never sinned Himself, that made Him the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He was able to die for my sin. Isn't that awesome? Jesus died for my sin. His purpose was not to teach us all. His purpose was to die. Do you see that? His purpose was to provide the way. There wasn't a million ways. If there was, Jesus wasted His time. His purpose was to provide the way, the bridge to God. God doesn't care if you call his son Jesus, does he? Does God care if you call his son Jesus? The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And everyone will confess Jesus is Lord. Sounds like it to me. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How about if we don't hold to the resurrection? How about if we say we believe Jesus died and he's still in a tomb, even though it's empty, and we deny what the Bible says? Can we be saved? If you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's important, right? It's key. It's foundational. There's false teachers everywhere. I want to encourage you to be careful. Oprah doesn't only interview Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise. She is preaching theology. Whether you know it or not, Oprah is preaching theology. Also, wake up call for those of you who are parents. MTV is preaching theology to your kids. MTV is teaching our children how to think about God. Be careful. Be careful. They teach the kids how to respect their parents. Anybody ever see MTV in the past 25 years? They have shows with parents insulting kids and weird dating shows. Unbelievable mess, which I don't even want to get into. Ridiculous. With kids insulting their kids' boyfriends or whatever, and then them coming back, cussing at the father where there's just no respect for people, where you're not normal if you don't try a homosexual relationship, that there's something wrong with you. Vile stuff. They don't even hardly play music anymore. All it is preaching. That's all it is. It's acceptance. It's preaching a message that is not based upon the Word. You know what's interesting? MTV is owned by Viacom. Big company. Guess what other channel they own? Nickelodeon. Guess what other channel they own? Nick Jr. They're taking your children from a small age and feeding them their stuff, knowing that they'll have them wrapped up. They also have a Nick preschool channel, too. And then they move them up to Nick Jr. Then they move them to Nickelodeon. What do they have at MTV they've had for a long time? The MTV Music Awards. Remember, they've had it forever. Nickelodeon has the Kids' Choice Awards, where they have the same heathenistic people that sing about sex and drugs coming on Nickelodeon, right? Usher hosting Nickelodeon. What? Be careful what your kids are into. Am I saying cut the cable? No, but be careful. Am I saying everything on Nickelodeon is wrong? No, but they're preaching to your kids. Be careful what's going in. Don't turn on the channel and walk away. Be careful. Know what they're watching, right? Is SpongeBob evil? Personally, at least old SpongeBob, I think is hilarious myself. But be careful what your kids are into. Be careful what you're into. There's preaching all the time. Howard Stern. Does Howard Stern preach? You better believe Howard Stern is preaching a gospel of what? Fulfill your own lusts, right? Howard Stern is preaching a gospel. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get mad if I think about it. To young girls, come in, strip down, show me what you look like naked, and I'll tell you whether or not you're worth living. Have you heard that stuff? Come in and we'll let you know if I think you're sexy, dirty old man, right? And if I think you're sexy, I'll let you get breast implants. And we'll give you the gift of breast implants. Why? So your purpose... Sorry, I'm spitting on you. You're in the splash zone. Your purpose... The purpose in life, they're telling these young women, is to please men. You have no purpose outside of pleasing men. That infuriates me. Are you kidding me? Does that infuriate you? That should get somebody hacked off. For somebody to tell, basically, and time goes on as my daughter grows up, that message is Amber has no reason for living if boyfriends don't think she's sexy. How disgusting. How vile. Our society is preaching. And we sit back and we just let them preach to our families. We let them preach to our children. We let them preach to us. And we call it entertainment. It's preaching. I want you to be aware that it's preaching. Okay? And when you hear things that come in that are contradictory to your belief system, be man enough or woman enough to shut it off. To say, I'm done with this. Go to the movies. It's preaching. I'm not saying all movies are bad. I'm not saying cut the CD player out of your car. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be careful. It's all preaching. Amen? I preach here on the Bible. They're preaching upon their own lusts, upon their own desires, upon their own agenda. It's preaching. Be careful. And I'm glad Howard Stern isn't here today or I might have swung at him. That aggravates me. Interesting side note, he used to say for years, it's healthy to look at women. It didn't affect his marriage. It did affect his marriage, didn't he? So he got divorced. What a weird concept, right? Jesus says you look at another woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her. Jesus, high standards. Howard Stern, no standards. And he thought his marriage was fine. Isn't it weird that his wife didn't enjoy him looking at women, telling them to undress for him? Is that weird? My wife isn't that understanding either. I've seen my wife fight, okay? My wife is tough, man. I don't want her to swing at me. Turn into your Bibles to Jude. Hey, Jude. We're into Jude. Listen, we're going to spend a few weeks on Jude, I guess. We'll see how it goes, but we're going to do a little series on Jude. We're just going to open it up, a few thoughts today, and that'll be it for the service today. But Jude is an awesome book that deals with false teachers. Jude is very short. Donna, do you have a page number, honey? 947 in your little paper Bibles, if you have those. Jude deals with false teachers that were in the church. Today, I don't know if we have false teachers in our church in one of these seats. I don't think so, to be honest with you. But as I was in prayer over this, and I knew this was the Lord's direction, I was asking, Lord, do we have false teachers within our church? I don't know. I don't think so, but I still felt the Lord going in this direction. So either we may have false teachers in our church, we may down the road get false teachers to come in our church, or we do have false teachers in our lives as far as TV and media all the time. We have had false teachers in our church, just to let you know, in the past. We have had people visit our church that had their own agendas, that were seeking to be glorified themselves and not give the glory to Jesus, and had a weird doctrinal thing that just wasn't really the Bible. Thank the Lord in His grace and in His mercy and in Him helping me, because sometimes I can be really dense on the Lord showing me in obvious ways that we need to confront it. And I did, and they're gone. Okay? So we have no problem. God has called me to be the shepherd of the sheep, the congregation, and when I see a wolf, I will confront the wolf. Amen? Isn't that what we should do? Why? Because I love you. And because I love your children. And I don't want a wolf coming in and destroying them. So we need to be on guard for the wolves out there. I don't mean somebody has an understanding or they need to grow. I mean people coming in with their own agendas. We don't need that. We love Jesus, right? And we will hold to Him. Look at Jude. Jude is a book written by the half-brother of Jesus. So what's that mean? It means it's one of Mary and Joseph's kids. After Jesus grew up, they were born. Fathered by Mary and Joseph, Jesus was only... He was fathered by God. Remember the Immaculate Conception. Mary was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 1. Jude, verse 1. There's only one chapter in this whole book. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. He said he's a slave of Jesus, who was really his brother too. Why would he say, would anybody say you're a slave of your brother? Mike and Lou, you guys are here today. You guys are brothers. You look a lot alike. Would you ever say I was Mike's slave? Only if he made you clean the house, right? And how about you, Mike? Would you say that about your brother? I'm his... No. You love him. Not his slave. So this should even tell us more that Jude said, you know what? My brother is God. I mean, because brothers wouldn't say that. Slave of Christ Jesus and a brother of James, I am writing to all who have been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. Get into the letter. Dear friends, I have been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted for once, or has entrusted once for all time to His holy people. Okay, real quickly, he said, I was going to write to you about salvation, like how Jesus changed us. And in the midst of that, God stopped me. Something happened, and I need to completely change directions with this letter because we need to deal with something, okay? Look at verse 4. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Verse 3, he says, I'm urging you to defend the faith. Okay, when do you defend something? You defend something when you're under attack, don't you? Right? You ever see old Western movies? All of a sudden it's time to defend the fort. Like at the Alamo, get your coonskin cap, get your musket, time to go to war, right? Think of World War II movies, World War I movies. Man, what a brutal war. Hide in the foxhole. Get ready, right? We got to defend our area. Jude says it's time to defend your area. Defend what? The faith, really. We need to be Christians who are aware of what's happening. If you're not aware of what's happening, if you're not alert, the enemy will sneak in and just pick you off. Right? The Bible says the devil is a roaring lion seeking whoever he can devour. He's hiding in the bushes, looking to get you. I want you to know that you don't need to be afraid of him because we have Jesus, right? Jesus holds us in our hand. He loves us. But be aware that the enemy wants to destroy you and your family. If the enemy can't take you to hell, he can at least maybe take your family or keep you from sharing Jesus or whatever. He wants to attack you. Call out to the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. You don't need to fear him. But spend time with Jesus. Move towards Jesus and be aware of TV. Be aware. You know what? God has given us the Holy Spirit as believers. You ever talk to somebody and something just not feel right? Anybody, can I see your hand if you've ever felt that way? And maybe all their words were good and something clicked and you're like, there's something here. God has given us the Holy Spirit. We call that a check in the Spirit. It's a little thing where they might be saying, oh, I love Jesus, God is good, blah, blah, blah. And you're, ooh, there's just something here that's not right. I want you to know that God speaks to you. And don't blow those things off. Be open. He might be cautioning you against going into a business deal, right? Or trusting someone with your children, babysitter, uncle, something. Am I right? It might be you just got something on the radio and the Lord's like, that's not good for you to listen to. It might be going to whatever. Be careful. There's a time to fight for the faith. Be ready to defend. Be open. Verse 4, some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches. I like that the word that the New Living uses. They've wormed their way in. They're little worms, you know. Like maybe they came to a potluck dinner and they brought the cheese fries with bacon that were so good. And, you know, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So they thought, we'll worm in there and get into the church and we'll be friends with everybody. And next thing I know, I want to get alone with somebody's kid because that's the thing I like to do. And we're like, no, you're not. And you know what I mean? And they're kind of feeling around, figuring out what they can do. And maybe I can start a church in my own house. I got an idea. I don't, you know, God didn't call me to start a church. So we'll just like steal their church and take it to my house. And we'll take 6 people from this church and 10 people from that church. Listen, that's weird. That's weird. That's not of God. Watch for the worms that get in. They can seem good, but you can be like, man, they're a little weaselly. I don't know about that. You ever know a weasel? Yeah. In this situation, they're saying that God's marvelous grace gave them the chance to live immoral lives. God saved us. Now we can do whatever we want. Does the Bible say we get to just be nasty, mean, and immoral people? No, it says if Jesus changed us, right? He's going to change us. We become new creations. He gives us His heart. We begin to love the things of God. If you're a believer and you're mean and nasty and you run over every cat you see in the street, I don't know that you can be a believer. I don't know. Well, maybe cats aren't a good example. Maybe dogs are, because cats are half evil. So maybe if you run over dogs... God changes us, though, doesn't He? Now, what does Jude say? Last part of this verse, there, the condemnation of such people was recorded long ago. He says, people like that, what is their destination? Hell. Does a loving God send people to hell? They choose to reject Him. Right? Their condemnation was told long ago. Why? For they have denied their only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. They have denied Jesus. They have denied that He was the only way, the truth, and the life. They've denied that He's the risen God. They denied that He's coming back again. They've denied that God has called us to live at high standards so we could reflect Him and we could live out our lives in the name of Jesus for the world to see. They've denied that. They denied that He's coming back. They did not. I don't want to deny Jesus. Anybody else, you don't want to deny Jesus? Be careful. You're under attack. Be careful what you listen to, what your kids are in again. Because it's preaching a different message. Be aware of this as you go through life, okay? It's preaching. It's preaching. You will hear today all kinds of agendas preached. Preach like, if it's fun, do it. Right? There's nothing wrong with sex before marriage. In fact, sex with friends with benefits is a good thing. No, it's not. The Bible says it's not a good thing, guys. Right? And you know what? To be honest with you, if you're here and you're a young person and you've heard that lie, that will destroy your life. Because there are countless people in their 20s and 30s that have regret lists miles long because they've given into the lie of the world that says there's no consequences to your actions. There are always consequences to your actions, aren't there? Always. Don't say I can dabble in this drugs and this alcohol and I can dabble over here and there's no consequences. There are always consequences to your actions. But be careful what you're listening to. Be careful, even in the church. To be honest with you, I don't think we have this problem. We could down the road. We could today, I guess, but we could down the road. Be careful. People worming in, wanting to talk to you. And when something's a little weird, wait a second, that's a little weird. Maybe pray for them. Don't gossip about them. Don't say this is weird, so I'm going to tell 30 people. Just sit back and be cautious, you know. It happens a couple of times and you think you need to express something, talk to me. Don't talk to everybody else. As the pastor, if you think there's a wolf, you know, talk to me. Don't spread it around the church. We don't want to do that because you could be wrong and I could be wrong. And we don't want to do that. But we want to be aware. Amen? I don't say this to arouse suspicion because, to be honest with you, I don't think we have any problems. I say this because we need to be Christians who are... I'm spitting big time. Sorry. I'm just going to get the big plastic sheet like they have at SeaWorld. And when you see it coming, be careful. Be careful. The world is always preaching. Last thought, and we're going to pray right now. Parents, you're always preaching too. You're always preaching. You're always preaching. Either we're sharing the Bible with our kids, or you're sharing other things, but you're always preaching. Some parents have preached the gospel of you need to fool around first before you get married. To see, you know, because that's just their worldview. It came from like stuff in the 60s or whatever. I don't know. Be careful. You're always preaching. Don't preach to your kids, Jesus is real, Jesus loves you, and then not live it. Because your actions are preaching, right? When we preach, we love Jesus and we trust Him and He is our healer. Somebody gets hurt and we don't even pray. We need to stop and say, kids, let's pray. When I'm distracted in a car and say an ambulance goes by or we see an accident, we pray in the car. Lord, I don't know who this person is, but somebody is in a life or death situation and we pray, Jesus, heal them. I'll even ask Amber, can you pray for that person? And my daughter I love for will begin to pray. Lord, touch them, heal them, you know. But show them, teach your kids, you're always preaching. Don't say one thing and live another. You're always preaching. To your friends at work, don't tell them Jesus is the way, they need Jesus, and then steal the grease gun when the boss isn't looking. You're always preaching. As you steal the grease gun, you're preaching. You're preaching that you don't really believe what you say. Don't do that. Be aware, the world's always preaching to you. We're always preaching. We're sharing something about what we believe, if Jesus has really impacted us or not. But let's go out this week, listen, with a new awareness that the devil is out to destroy you, right? A new awareness that Jesus, though, even more, way more powerful than the devil, is out to bless you and speak to you and work through your life and change you. So let's go forward this week aware of the world, aware of our own actions, and aware of God the Father, who wants to speak to us and work in our lives every day. Amen? Amen? And get into the Word this week. You can read the rest of Jude. Get into the book of John. Get in somewhere. Spend time with Jesus. John is a great place if you've never really been in the Word before. Get into the Word and allow God to speak to you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together as a church. We're going to get ready to take the offering. After we pray, I'll pray for that as well. If you have your communication cards, if you were good to your pastor and you love your pastor and you actually filled it out, put it in a bag as it goes by. If you didn't, just repent as the bag goes by and work on it for next week. Listen, we're going to pray and we're going to pray that God will help us this week to live for Him. Amen? Amen? Let's live for Him. God is good and He loves you greatly. And He wants to protect you and fill you with His wisdom. I've been encouraging our church to press into Jesus more. The enemy is out to destroy you. We need to press into Jesus. We need to. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you as a church, God. As a family, we love you. Lord, right now, I just want to thank you that we have such a great church family. Lord, as I'm preaching your word today, honestly, Lord, I don't see any of these problems. And I'm so grateful for that, Lord. It's so good to have a loving family where we really love each other. Where when we have a potluck dinner, God, it's the best food ever. I thank you for that. I thank you for family that we can hug and even family that we can cry with, Lord. That there's friendships being developed in this church, God, where it's almost like a father-daughter, mother-son relationship or like brothers in the Lord. And we can encourage each other to live for Jesus. I thank you for that. That's unique, Lord. We don't take that in vain. We thank you for that. I pray for a special empowerment this week as we go forward, Jesus, that you would help us to live for you, to have a new awareness, Lord, that there is a world out there preaching all the time. And we want to be careful what we're accepting into our heart. And we want to protect our children. Lord, we pray for Oprah today. Lord, we don't hate her. I pray, Jesus, that you would find her, God. That she would preach your word on her national and worldwide TV. That she would find Jesus. I know there's hurts and stuff in her heart that only you can heal. I know there's peace that only you can bring. Touch her, Lord. Even for Howard Stern, as we mentioned. God, he is a man who needs you desperately. Lord, he's trying to fill the hole in his heart with sex and everything else. And he needs you. Draw him to you. Save him, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, for our families, protect them. For our kids, protect them. Help us, Lord, to go forward as a church that continues to live for you. Bless our offering we're about to receive, Lord. Bless it, God. And help us to go forward under the power of the Holy Spirit, loving you more this week. Thank you. And for the prayer requests that we've had today, Lord, of cancer and stuff, Lord, those prayer needs, we pray for healing today. And once again, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.